Welcome to Lecture 13. Box A, Chapter 13 Goals. In this lecture, we will discuss some important topics. Of particular importance is the discussion of some fundamental data structures, such as linked lists, stacks, queues, and maps. These data structures are important because you will see them time and time again throughout your programming career. Basically, these different data structures provide different ways to store data. Each way has pros and cons, and you will need to pick the one that is best for the problem at hand. In addition to learning the basic theory of these data structures, we will show how to use the corresponding STL classes. That is, you will not need to make your own linked list, stack, queue, or map class, since the standard library already provides generic classes of these kind for you to use. Storing data in various containers is only half the battle. We also will want to manipulate this data with various algorithms. Incidentally, there is a famous book called Algorithms Plus Data Structures Equals Programs by Niklas Wirth. Unfortunately, the book is out of print, but there are some used copies available on Amazon.com. Returning back to the topic at hand, as stated, we will want to manipulate our data in various ways. The standard C++ library provides a few dozen algorithmic functions to act on the elements stored in the various kinds of data structures. Before concluding this lecture, we will present a few for flavor. Let it be said that the STL is a huge topic, and we cannot hope to cover it in one chapter. In fact, there are entire books on the library. Two suggestions are made in Box A. Effective STL, 50 Specific Ways to Improve Your Use of the Standard Template Library by Scott Myers, and the C++ Standard Library, a Tutorial and Reference by Nikolai M. Jasudis. It is recommended that sometime down the road, you pick up some books on the STL and learn about it in depth. Our primary goal here is to give you some basic exposure to the STL, so that you at least know that it exists and how to use some of its more fundamental components. Box B. Inserting an element into an array. So we begin by discussing a data container we are already familiar with, an array. An array stores a contiguous sequence of data elements. So the natural question is, if we can store a set of data with an array, then why do we need to learn about other data containers? Well, first of all, an array by itself may not organize the data elements in a way convenient for the problem at hand. We can, of course, write code which will organize the array elements in a convenient way. In doing so, we are essentially building a new data structure on top of an array. However, arrays still have some other problems which may not make it the best choice, depending on the problem. The following discussion illustrates. Consider the top integer array figure shown in box B, and suppose that we want to insert a 7 at index 2. However, we don't want to overwrite the value currently there. So what we do is shift the elements starting at index 2 over one element to the right in order to make room for the new integer 7. The middle array figure shows this, and we now have the room to insert the 7. The bottom figure shows the array after the 7 has been inserted. What was the point of this exercise? The point is that inserting values into arbitrary array positions requires some work. In particular, shifting the elements around to make room for the value to be inserted. With big arrays, this can require a lot of shifts, and these memory shifts can get expensive. The moral of the story is that arrays are not inherently suited for arbitrary data insertions. Of course, inserting at the end of an array requires no shifting. However, there will be times when you need to insert elements at arbitrary positions rather than at the end. For instance, if you want to keep the array sorted. Box C, resizing an array. We now observe another problem with arrays. What happens when we run out of room in the array? We know from our study of dynamic memory that we can always allocate a new array which is bigger. Box C shows the array resize code from chapter 4. A couple of things stand out. First, we have to allocate and deallocate memory, which doesn't come free. In addition, we have to copy the old elements into the new, larger array. This data copying isn't free, and for huge arrays, this can be quite significant. So the point here is that resizing an array frequently can be costly. As another point, in some of the previous exercises you did, you implemented a linear search and binary search function. We learned that the linear search is quite slow and that the binary search is quite fast. However, the binary search required the array to be previously sorted. Arrays are not automatically sorted unless you sort them. The point here is that arrays are not inherently optimized for fast searching. Box D, Summary of Array. So here we summarize our observations. First, we learned that inserting a data element at a random array location can be expensive because it may require us to shift a lot of elements up to make room for the element. Second, we learned that resizing an array can be inefficient. Third, we learned that arrays by themselves are not optimized for fast searching. We will find that some of the other data structures overcome these problems. However, despite these shortcomings, arrays have some benefits, and it's your job to look at the particular application and weigh the cost-benefit ratios. If you do not need arbitrary insertions, then problem number one goes away. And if you are not resizing the array very frequently, then problem number two becomes negligible. As already said, array elements can be accessed very quickly. In fact, this is the primary advantage of arrays: fast, arbitrary element access. By simply providing an index, we can offset very quickly to an element. This is not true for some of the other data structures. Again, you will need to use judgment in selecting a data structure for a task. Each has advantages and disadvantages, and you want to pick the one that is best suited for the task.